Rambam Hilchis Tshuva, Perik Beis, Halacha Aleph. Ezi Tshuva Gemura. What is considered complete Tshuva? Says the Rambam, fascinating. Lizesha baliyadei dover sha'ovar boy, ve'efsher biyadei lasis. Somebody who confronts the same exact situation, which in a previous time of his life, that caused him to make a terrible mistake, and he has the ability to repeat the same error. Nonetheless, uperish veloy asa. But this time he abstained and he did not commit this error. Mipnei ha-tshuva, because he's a transformed person. Because he's in a different state of mind or she's in a different state of mind. Loi miyir. Sometimes I confront the same situation, but I won't repeat it because I'm frightened. I'm afraid of people. That's not the reason. Veloi mikishlen koyach. Sometimes, you know, when shanal teyid, I lost my strength. Kishlen koyach means this person lacks strength, potency. That may be a reason. But rather, the situation is there. The circumstances are perfect. The person still has that same passion for sin that he or she once had. And nonetheless, there was tshuva, so the person abstains. Ketzad, what does this mean practically? Harei shebal isha ba'aveira. Somebody engaged in immoral relationships with a woman. U'la'achar zman nisyached imo. Time passes, and once again he finds himself in an intimate situation with her. They're together in the same space. V'u'oymed ba'avosei ba. And he still maintains a profound affection to her. And he still maintains the same bodily strength and power. And it's not like sometimes he's in a different country and the rules are different and he can get caught. No, he's in the same country, in the same city, which means the circumstances are perfect for him to repeat his previous error. Nonetheless, realizing and understanding and having the conviction that this is wrong, this is inappropriate, this is destructive, this is immoral, he abstains. Zehu bal tshuva gemura. This is the bal tshuva, the person who performs tshuva in a complete fashion. The real, most authentic, complete bal tshuva. V'hu sheshleima imer. It's about this person that Shlomo HaMelech speaks of in Koheles, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where Shlomo HaMelech says, "Uschoir es beirecha b'mei b'chureisecha, ada shalo yavoyu mei hara v'igiyu shana mashatayma enli b'em chefetz." Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, meaning when you're still powerful, before the bad days come and the years in which you say, I don't have any desires anymore. Then it's not a kunz. The days of your youth, when you're full of strength and you're full of passion and the fire is burning, that's when you want to remember your Creator and who you really are and what's your purpose in this world. What if this didn't happen? A person only did tshuva when he or she was an old man or woman. And at a time when this person cannot really do what he did in the past. Yes. True, this is not the most perfect and wholesome form of tshuva, as he called it tshuva gemura, but nonetheless, it's effective, it works, it's tshuva. Ubal tshuva, who this person is considered, abal tshuva afilu avar kol yomav, even somebody who's transgressed Hashem's will all the days of his life. V'asa tshuva b'yoymi sasai, and he repented on the day of his death. Umeis b'tshuvasai, and he passed away. In the midst of his tshuva, kol avei noisov nimchalin, all of his transgressions are forgiven. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech continues, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Ada sheloi sechshach hashemesh v'oiva yireach v'akechavim v'shavu ha'ovim achar hageshem. And you have the opportunity to remember your Creator until the sun sets and there's no more light and no more moon and no more stars and the clouds disperse after the rain. Shu yoyim hamisa. Referring to the day of death. Miklal, what do we see from this pasuk? Shem zacha boire v'shav kaidim shayamos nislachlai. The person remembered his Creator, and he did tshuva before he passed away, even though it was not during his or her youth. Rather, as the Rambam said, it may have been the day of death right before the sun set, but the person died following the tshuva. All is forgiven. Now, sometimes people ask a question, if tshuva gemura means that you really have to face the same situation and the same circumstances. It seems unfair. Sometimes people get to face the same circumstances as the Rambam described, but very often not. There's a fascinating insight from Reb Tzadik HaKoyen of Lublin and the Sfasembes. They say it a little bit in different words. I'm going to say it in my own words. And that is, the fact is, when somebody does tshuva in a sincere way, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to create the circumstances where I am going to face a very similar toxic situation that I faced at a previous point in my life in order that I should be able to respond in a different way. And when I do that, when you do that, you know that you have changed something sincerely in your life. And you'll see this in your own life. There's certain situations where we behaved in a dysfunctional or immoral or wrong way for whatever reason, willingly, inadvertently, trauma, toxicity, our fault, not our fault. And Hashem in our life gives us very similar situations. And if you're conscious, you have to be conscientious and alert, you will see right now you have the opportunity to repeat. The same story is being repeated, but my response could be completely different. And that, the Rambam says, is tshuva gemura. Halacha beis. Umayi atshuva. In Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, he's talking about tshuva. What is tshuva? Tell me what tshuva is. We say tshuva means returning. Tshuva means repentance. What is it? So here the Rambam gives in this halacha, what is the definition of tshuva? Who? Let me tell you what tshuva is. Sheyazav hachoytei chetoi. That the one who sinned shall abandon his sin. He shall let go of his transgression. V'yisirenu memachshavtei. And shall remove it from his consciousness. He should not continue dwelling in his mind on those types of actions. V'yigmer b'liboy, and he should resolve in his heart, shelo yaseyu oid, he will not commit this mistake, this error, this sin again. Shenema, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, perek nun hey, daf Torah v'tainis, yazoiv rasha darkoi v'yishovin machshavoysav. Let the rasha abandon his path, and let the person of iniquity let go of his negative thoughts. I saw the Chidush Harim writes, what does it mean, yazoiv rasha darkoi? The Rasha should abandon his derech. It's a derech. Suddenly, the Rasha developed a derech. He has a shitta. He has a mahalach. He has a nusach. He has a whole hashkafa. He's a Rasha. He has a yetzahara. He's weak. He fails again and again. What's darkoi? His path. It's a derech. And the Chiddush Harim says that's part of what he has to abandon. One of the most destructive ideas that a person has is that rishis has become my derech. I feel that this is who I am. I'm trapped. And my neural pathways, indeed, are always directing me in this way. Yazav Rasha Darkai, I have to be able to tell myself, this is not me. Yes, I have become blemished, I have become tainted, I have become tarnished, I have fallen prey. But Yazav Rasha Darkai, sometimes the greatest struggle of the Rasha is that he thinks that this is his derech, this is my trajectory, this is my destiny, this is my road in life, this is his real derech. Says the Rambam, what is tshuva? Tshuva is the ability to be able to let go. Say, I am going to move on. I am not going back to this place. I'm abandoning my sin. The Rambam says, v'chein, there's another element of tshuva. Yisnachim al sha'avar. It's not just about the future. Person should have remorse for the past. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu Lamed Aleph, in Yeshaya we learned about the future. Yazav Rasha Darka, abandon the old path. Now the Yirmiyahu speaks about the future. Ki acharei shuvi nechamti. After I did tshuva, I felt regret. Va'acharei hivadi safakti al yarech. And after I became aware of my wrongdoing, I pounded on my thigh. I clapped on my thigh, which was like a sign of grief when a person is upset, clapping on the thigh. In other words, part of tshuva, the Rambam says, is experiencing remorse, regret for how I lived in the past, for what I said, for what I did, for where I allowed my thoughts to go to. It's so interesting. The Rambam first speaks about the future, and then he says, v'chein yisnachim. In other words, what's the definition of tshuva? Maya tshuva? Definition of tshuva is, it's time to move on. My old life, my old behavior is gone, is obsolete. No more. I'm opening up a new chapter in my life. That is tshuva. Aziva ashachet. The ability to let go of the past and decide that the future is going to look different. I had a Zayder, Reb Gershon Ber Pahari, was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. He used to go to sleep at night, and he would say almost every night in Yiddish, Morgen wird sein gar anders. The tomorrow is going to look very different. That's the definition of tshuva. The Rambam adds, however, you also have to have remorse for the past. And I assume that's essential to the future, because if I don't really feel the shame or the negativity or the toxicity of the past, it's harder to make that real resolution for the future. Then the Rambam says, the one who knows all hidden things, Hashem, should be able to testify about this person that he will never again return to this sin. Shenemar, the pasuk says, in Hosea, Perik Yudalot, this is the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuva, Shuvi Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, and the Navi continues, Chui Machem Dvarim V'Shuva Al Hashem, take with yourself words and return to Hashem, V'loi Noimar Oid Eloheinu L'Maseh Yadeinu Hashem B'Chay Yerucham Yasa. We will never again define the actions of our hands as our deities, as our gods. It's in you in whom the orphan will be embraced and find compassion. So the Rambam sees in this pasuk, very interestingly, that the concept of tshuva is that a Jew has Hashem as a witness that it will never return. Because it says, this is how the Mefarshim explain, it says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha. And the Medrash says in Psikter Rapsi Memdalid and Yalkut Shemoini on the Pasuk, Shuva Yisrael, there's no Nekudas in Tanakh. So it could read, Shuva Yisrael, aid Hashem alekecha. Return Yisrael until Hashem alekecha, not only till Hashem, but aid Hashem. Hashem becomes your witness. In the process of Shuva, Hashem is the witness. Or as the Kesef Mishnah explains, that's a pshat, Kuhi Machem Dvarim Shuva ul Hashem. Take with you words and return to Hashem. So you have Hashem present as a witness for your tshuva. When we say we will never go back to turn our physical sculptures or actions into deities, into gods. The Rambam says, a person is obligated to confess with his mouth and articulate these concepts, these themes that he resolved in his heart. In other words, thoughts are not enough, as the Rambam said in Perek Aleph, that the mitzvah of tshuva includes vidui, that simply with my lips, with my mouth, I have to articulate verbally these things that I resolved in my heart. Number one, the future. What's the future going to look like? I'm abandoning my past, I'm opening up a new chapter in my life. Number two, the remorse for the past. The Rambam says, these things that he resolves in his heart should be articulated in your mouth. Now, I know what you're thinking. This is quite a tall order when the Rambam says that part of tshuva is that Hashem should be able to testify and be a witness that you're never going to return to this sin. Doesn't this really rob so many people from the opportunity of tshuva? Who could say to somebody, who can say about themselves, I'm doing tshuva, I really feel bad about what I said or what I did, I want to change, I'm not going to do this again, but can you really know that in a year, in 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, people's circumstances change. People have bad days. Different things happen to people inside, outside. Can we really say that if Hashem does not testify that I will never, ever, ever repeat this again, the tshuva is not a tshuva? This is a very big question on the words of the Rambam. It's not like this is a clear Maimon Chazal in Gemara or Medrash, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Mechilta, Sifra, Sifri, Taisefti, even Zohar. It's certainly not in the Tanakh. The Rambam learns it out from the Psukim. That's why people struggle where the Rambam got it from. Shuvi Yisrael. Eid Hashem alekecha. V'loi noimor eid aleinu l'masi adeinu. It's not a clear Maimon Chazal. So it's not like it's a clear statement. What do you want from the Rambam? Really, the Rambam understood it this way. The Rambam developed it this way. How can the Rambam say this? The Lechem Mishnah says further, so nobody has Bechira anymore. If Hashem testifies that I'm never going to sin again, it means that all my free choice is gone. It's difficult to understand these words of the Rambam, but I'm going to have to leave this for our question and answer segment that we do after the Shir. I'll do an answer and question segment, a question and answer segment. And over there, I will address this. There's different ways of explaining it. Gevaldike Chiddush of Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin about a possible source of the Rambam. A beautiful vort of Reb Shimon Shkop on this. Various beautiful Sfasemis on this. And top it all off, an extraordinary insight of the Chiddush Harim, the first Ger Rebbe, on an understanding this piece of Rambam. But this we're going to do. B'li Neder, after the Shir, we'll have a question and answer segment. And it's posted as a separate video on theyeshiva.net, and you'll be able to watch that discussion. Halacha Gimel. Kol ha-misvad b'dvarim v'lo yigamar b'li b'lazoiv. Anyone who confesses his transgressions with words, but in his heart he never resolved to let go of it. My words are beautiful, impeccable. I'm sorry, I'm remorseful, I feel so bad, I'm never going to do it again. But in my heart, there's no experience. As the Rambam says, you know what this is similar to? Similar who goes to them, to somebody who immerses in the mikveh because he's impure. But while he's immersing in the mikveh, he's holding a sheretz. A sheretz is one of the dead, one of the eight shrotzim, the eight forms of rodents. Let's say a lizard or a weasel. He goes in with a dead lizard into the mikveh. Now the dead lizard is a source of tumah. So tayvul v'sheretz b'shein atfilah mayelus. The tefillah is ineffective. It's meaningless. Atchi yashlich hasheretz. Until he does not throw away the sheretz. Once he throws away the dead lizard, now you go into the mikveh, you're pure. But as long as I'm holding the sheretz, it undermines the very mikveh. That's where the pasuk says in Mishlei Chavches, you have to be moideh. Moideh is vidui. Moideh is I have to confess verbally. But va'ozev, it must come with an inner state of mind, with a sincerity that I really want to let go, I really want to abandon, and then yeruchem, this person will be embraced, will be accepted, will be loved. Why does the Rambam, a sefer of halacha, have to use the example of a mikveh with a sheretz, a toivel v'sheretz? He could have just said, if somebody confesses with his words and he's insincere, it's ineffective, it's worthless. Like it says, moideh v'ozev yeruchem. But the Rambam brings this example because this example actually articulates the message of what the Rambam is saying. This is something that was once shared by the Lubavitcher Rebbe at a Fabrengen when he was explaining different ideas in Rambam Hilchus Tshuva. He says, what the Rambam is trying to say something is as follows. I can sometimes go to the mikveh, and the mikveh is ineffective for different reasons. For example, somebody has a chatzitza. Somebody has a chatzitza, so there's something separating between them and the water. It could sometimes disqualify the mikveh experience. Or, person went in the wrong time. Sometimes you have to wait a certain amount of days when you go to the mikveh. Person went in the wrong time. So everything was good. But there's a side component that undermines the mikveh. And therefore, the person is not tired. The Rambam gives a different example. Tovel v'sheretz b'yadai is, it's not an inyan zdadi. It's not something on the side that disqualifies the mikveh. Rather, he's engaged in something that undermines and contradicts the very experience of the mikveh. It's not just, there's a tanai. You have to do it on the 7th, you have to go on the 8th, you have to go on this, you have to go by day, you have to go at night, and I went the wrong time, and therefore the mikveh doesn't work. No, it's not just the mikveh doesn't work because tonight's dadi in Hilchis mikveh. The mikveh doesn't work because the definition of mikveh is to go away from tumah, and I am actually holding on to the sheretz. I have the tumah in the mikveh, so therefore it's undermining the very essence, the very core of what a mikveh is, and that's what the Rambam is trying to say here. That it's not, that tshuva is about, you get up and you say, Ashamnu, Begadnu, Gazalnu, Debarnu. If it's just words without an inner experience, without an inner consciousness of who I am, of what I did, and what I'm capable of being, and who I should be, if I don't have that inner conscientiousness, it's like I'm a Toivel v'sheretz beyond it. There's no tshuva here. I'm going to the mikveh, I'm saying vidi, I'm saying the right things, but I'm undermining the very experience of mikveh because vidui and the inner experience of tshuva is literally one indivisible entity, and one without the other is meaningless. The famous chikir of Reb Chaim Brisker, beyond the realm of this shir, but Reb Chaim Brisker asks the question, if Tevel v'sheretz b'yodeh, if the pshat is that it's l'chatchila not a tara, or it's a tara, and then the tara is removed through the sheretz, which also is connected to our previous conversation. Says the Rambam, v'tzarech lifreit esachet, a person also has to specify the sin. Shenemar, the pasuk says by the Chet HaEgel in Parashas Kisisa, Ono chota omazeh chata gdoyle v'yasu lemelehei zov. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, I implore you, the nation has engaged in a great sin and they have made for themselves a golden god. What do we see from here? There's actually a machlokes in Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Rabbi Akiva says you don't have to specify the sin when you confess. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba paskins that you have to, and he brings an ayah from this pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just come up and say the Jews did a terrible sin. Moshe Rabbeinu said vayasulem alehi zav. He specified what it was. So the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, and the Mefarshim say why he chooses Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba over Rabbi Akiva. That vidui, part of vidui is not just to say, I'm sorry, I did something really bad and really nasty, I'm not going to do it again. But actually, I should specify the exact chet that I have committed. And I think we can appreciate the value of confessing and specifying what I have done wrong. It's very different when I come to somebody and I said, you know, it was wrong what I did last week, last month, last year. I want to apologize. I won't do it again. I'm really sorry. Or when I really specify in detail exactly what it was. I think it often demonstrates a deeper sense of owning it. I really own it. It's more internalized in some ways. It really shows that I'm focusing and I'm very aware of what occurred, what I did do, what I did not do, what I said, what I did not say. And therefore, the Rambam Mahalacha says, this is the Rambam's view, that one has to specify the chet. I do want to plant a question in your mind, and I would love to hear what you dear students have to say about this. If you were writing this Perek in the Rambam, wouldn't have you chosen to write Halacha Beis and Halacha Gimel before Halacha Aleph? The Rambam starts off Halacha Beis, Mahi HaTshuva, what is Tshuva? And he defines the basic elements of what Tshuva is. Halacha Aleph is Ezehu Tshuva Gemura, what's complete Tshuva? Shouldn't have the Rambam first wrote Halacha Beis and Halacha Gimel, which is a continuation, and then Halacha Aleph? This is a question I have. I would love to hear. Think about it. I would love to hear what you have to say. If you have an answer, please put it into the comments on theyeshiva.net, on the Shir, Perek Beis. You have comments and you could give your feedback, questions, answers. I would love to hear what you have to say about this. Halacha Dalet. After the Rambam defined what is complete tshuva, after the Rambam defined what is tshuva, what is the essence of tshuva, now the Rambam goes on Halacha Dalet, midarkei tshuva. He's going to discuss the paths that people who do tshuva take. These are not the fundamental aspects of that define tshuva. The following issues that he's going to discuss don't make up the basic elements of what tshuva is, but they are midarkei tshuva. They are the drachim, they are the pathways that the Baal tshuva takes in life. Says the Rambam, midarkei tshuva, from the ways of tshuva, and he's going to enumerate six components. Number one, liyas hashav tzoyek tamid lufnei Hashem b'bchiyu b'tachanun. The one who does tshuva cries out constantly before Hashem with tears and with requests for compassion and graciousness. Basically, the Baal tshuva has no qualms about him, no ears. There's no pompousness, there's no arrogance. There's a very deep sense of humility and vulnerability. Somebody who has been stripped of all the external layers of ego and pompousness, the Rambam says, this is a person who easily cries, who speaks to Hashem constantly in the most vulnerable and raw way. Number two, v'ayis tzedakah kifi kaychai. The Baal tshuva is engaged in giving tzedakah, helping people with tzedakah, with charity, as much as he can. Number three, u'misrachik harbe min adavar shechatabai. He goes very, very far away from that thing, those situations and those behaviors where he has fallen previously. It's not just he doesn't do it anymore. He makes sure to stay very far away. It reminds me, there's an interesting question. It's brought in Paiskim that on Rosh Hashanah you shouldn't eat nuts. Because egoiz, a walnut is called an egoiz, is begematria chet, same numerical value as chet, as sin, which is 17. So people ask a question. I don't understand. I can't eat a nut because it's begematria chet. It's also begematria toiv. Toiv is also 17, right? As the famous anecdote, one Rav once said, you're not allowed to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah because egg is begematria chet. You're also not allowed to sin on Rosh Hashanah because chet begematria chet. So because egg is the gematria of chet. So there was the son-in-law of the Sfasemis, was a Jew named Reb Chanoich Levin, the Ben Dinner Rav. Yichayin Per, Sefi Yichayin Per. So he says a beautiful insight. He says it represents something. It represents what the Rambam says. Misrach Echayim Menadav Shechatabai. Sometimes the relationship between what you're doing and the sin is only by numerical value. I mean, it's very remote, it's very distant. But you know that this is a danger zone for you. It's like an addict does not get close to alcohol. It's not just you don't drink, you stay far away from it. Because for you, these things are toxic. Even if for somebody else, it's not toxic. A beautiful vart from the Kotzker Rebbe in Siach Sarfi Kodesh. Beautiful vart. When Yosef speaks to the wife of Potiphar, she, of course, asks him to engage in a promiscuous relationship. And Yosef says no, and he gives this whole amazing response of why it's wrong. It's a betrayal to her husband. And he finishes off, and he says, V'chatosi le'elekim. I'm going to sin against God. And the Kotzker Rebbe says, you should have said, V'chatonu le'elekim. For her, it's also wrong. It's also a sin for her. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, according to many opinions, even before Matan Torah, she had a husband. It's also wrong for her. It's not only immoral for me. She should have said, it's a sin for you too. Kotzker Rebbe said he understood he should not put himself under the same umbrella with her, even when it comes to morality. Just saying means already there's a connection here. It's we're sinning against God. Yosef understood that that's the beginning of a downfall. The Rambam continues. Number four, umeshana shmoi, he changes his name, which means a change of identity. Kiloimar, meaning shani acher, I am a different person. Ve'eni oisya isha asa isa namaisam, I am not the same person who has engaged in those actions. So the part of the path of Baal Tshuva is there's a real transformation of identity. I don't recognize myself. I am a new human being. And the Rambam continues, umeshana maisav kulam utayvel derech yishara. This person transforms all of the activities of all of his activities of his life, now following a good and straight path. And the point here is, it's not just he does tshuva on a specific thing. Everything changes. His life trajectory is transformed. Next, v'goylem imkoyma. He will often relocate from his place, go to a new place, shagalus mechaperis oven, exile, cleanses, iniquity, shagaremis lo li'konav, li'is onav v'shmar ruach. Because exile, coming to a new place, causes a person to be humble, to be vulnerable, and to lose arrogance. So the Rambam essentially mentioned six behavioral patterns that constitute the pathway of a Baal Tshuva. Number one, there's the continuous vulnerability crying to Hashem. Number two, engaging a lot in tzedakah. Number three, removing himself completely and staying very far away from those types of things that caused him his downfall. Number four, really changing his identity. Number five, changing his whole lifestyle and all of his actions. And finally, number six, going to a new place. Halacha hei. Ushvach gadol. It's very praiseworthy, lashav, to somebody who does tshuva, sheyisvada berabim, that he should actually acknowledge his mistakes publicly. V'yodia pshav lahem. He should notify other people what he went through, his transgressions. U'megala avedis, shebenoy lebein chaveri l'acheidem. and share with other people things that he may have done to hurt another human being. And he tells them, indeed, I have sinned to so and so, and I did to him so and this and this. But today I'm a different person. I have turned away from this, and I have experienced remorse. Somebody who feels too arrogant, too pompous, and he will not share this with others. He wants to eclipse his wrongdoings. Ain't shuvasei gemura. About tshuva he is, but we can't say that his tshuva is really complete. Shemema, the pasuk says in Mishlei Chavches, mechasab shav lo yatzliach. If you eclipse your sins, it's not the ultimate hatzlacha, the ultimate success. What would be the purpose for this? So the Prima Gadim, there's different ways of understanding it. The Prima Gadim gives a beautiful interpretation, which we see very practically. He says, because this inspires others like nothing else. When I can go over to people, to somebody, and share something that happened between me and somebody else, as long as I'm not embarrassing that other person. If I'm embarrassing that other person and causing him humiliation and shame, then of course you should avoid it, because then you're helping other people at the expense of the person who you hurt originally. But if it's not going to embarrass and shame the other person in any way, it's extremely inspiring for people to hear this. We all know that people who have engaged in different behaviors that have hurt people physically, emotionally, intimately, spiritually, it's not just doing tshuva and repenting and changing their life. When they can acknowledge it publicly and they can get up and say, I did so and so, and I want to make amends and I'm ready to make amends, there are few things that are as inspirational and as empowering to other people. When is this said, says the Rambam, Ba'avedes shebin odom lachaveiroi. This is interpersonal sins. Avol b'noyle shebenoyle b'namokim. But sins between you and Hashem, ain't it tzorech lefarsim atzmai. There's no need to speak about it publicly. And the Rambam says, va'azus ponim hilayim gilam. Actually, not only there's no need, it's even a chutzpah. It's audacious to expose it, to reveal it. Elashav lefnei hakel baruchu ufoyrit chatov lefonov. Rather, tshuva is very intimate. You return again in the presence of Hashem and you specify your sins lefonav. Lefonav means to him and to him only. It's between you and God. Umisvad alein bifnei rabim stam. Aye, we do vidui, confession in public. He says the confession in public that other people hear is very general, it's generic. It's good for a person that his sins between him and Hashem are not exposed. Shenemar, this the pasuk says in Tehillim, a very different pasuk, Ashen is suipeshek suichata. Fortunate is the person whose transgressions are forgiven and his sins are eclipsed. Halachavav, the Ravid says, some argue with it, the Ravid says here on the Rambam, that if the sin between you and Hashem was a public sin, then he says, of course you should notify everybody, because just like the sin was public, certainly the tshuva should also be public. And in fact, if you look at the words of the Rambam, he says, azus ponim iloy im gilam. It's a chutzpah to reveal them. But what happens if they're already revealed? Everybody saw you do it. So then the Ravid would argue, and some say this is even the meaning in the Rambam, then it would be appropriate to share with people that you have changed your life around. Halachavav. Even though it's true that tshuva, repentance, and crying out to Hashem is always beautiful, it's always yafa. Yafa means it's always amazing and appropriate and beneficial. But there's a special time of the year, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which includes Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, first 10 days of the month of Tishrei, tshuva and crying out to Hashem is uniquely beautiful and is immediately accepted. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Perik Nun Hei, Dirshu Hashem bi Motzoi, Krauhu bi Yosei Karef. Seek out Hashem when He is present, call out to Him when He is close. Which seems like a very enigmatic pasuk. What do you mean, Bihim Motzoi, when He is present? When is He not present? When is He not present? As Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshever sings in his famous Dudala, Riboyno Shaloylam, Ayayem Tzeakav, Ayayloyem Tzeakav, Vuvelech Digifin, Vuvelech Dinishkifin. Hashem, where will I find you? Where will I not find you? But nonetheless, we see from this pasuk that there is a certain moment that Hashem says, the Navi says, Bihim Motzoi. Something, a unique availability, a unique intimate presence. And the Chazal explained to us that these are the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Bamed Vodim Amurim says, Da Rambam Biyachid. This is when we're talking about an individual. Avo b'tzibur, when you're dealing with a community, a collective, kolz man shoyisim tshuva v'tzorkim b'leiv sholem einenen. Any time of the year, aseretzim tshuva, any time of the year, that they do tshuva and they cry out to Hashem with an absolute, with a wholesome and complete heart, miyad nenin, they are accepted. There is a response. The Rambam doesn't say what the response is, but the effect is cataclysmic, it's powerful. A whole year around, when a tzibur comes together and does tshuva and cries out to Hashem, the Rambam says, miyad nenin. This is so internalized and accepted and embraced by Hashem in an incredible way, irrelevant of the time of the year. Shenemaran, this is the pasuk says. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parshas Veschanan, where is there a nation that Hashem is so close to, like Hashem, our God, whenever we call out to Him? How do you reconcile this with Dirshu Hashem, call out to Him when He's close? Here He says, He's always close. So Chazal see from this a big difference. Dirshu Hashem is referring to the Yachid. This pasuk in Veschan is referring to the Tzibur. Mi goy gadol, a great nation, b'chol kareinu elav, as we call out to Him, the Lashon Rabbim, because the Tzibur, it's whenever it happens, whenever there's tshuva, and crying out with a wholesome heart from the Tzibur, miyad nanin. The power and the impact of that is incredible. As I said, we don't always see what the impact is. Is the impact immediate? Is the impact later? Is the impact in this world? Is the impact in another world? Is the impact on a physical level, on a spiritual level? But the impact is infinite and powerful, and there's never a doubt about it, the Rambam says. Halacha Zayin. Yom HaKippur. The day that we call Yom Kippur, the day of cleansing. Huzman Tshuva L'Kol. This was the time that was designated. We look at time as just, it flows. What's the difference between Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? But Yiddishkeit doesn't look at time as that. Some days, some nights, some seasons have a unique energy that these times and these seasons embody. It says the Rambam, Yom HaKippurim Hu Zman Tshuva. Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva, lakol, for everybody. Liyachid ulirab, for the individual and for the public. Vuhu kates, and as the Rambam said in Perek Aleph, you remember, that Yom Kippur, atzmoy shel yom mechaper l'shavim. The very essence, the very existence of the day causes atonement and cleansing for those who do tshuva. It's not just, we need a day when people focus on tshuva. There's something about this zman of Yom Kippur, it's a zman of tshuva. Vuhu kates mechilus lichel Yisrael. It's the day when there is the culmination of forgiveness and atonement for every single Jew. The Rambam said that for 10 days, it's beautiful. The time, it's 10 days, a person's tshuva and a person's tears are uniquely accepted. He says, the culmination of that, the day that culminates and concludes and completes forgiveness for every Jew is Yom Kippur. Therefore, every Jew is obligated to do tshuva and to confess their mistakes, errors, and sins on Yom Kippur. The mitzvah of confessing on Yom Kippur should begin in the eve of Yom Kippur, before we enter Yom Kippur, Kodem Sheyoichel, before the person eats the final meal, before he goes in or she goes into the fast of Yom Kippur. Why? Wait for Yom Kippur. Shemi Yechanik Basud, Kodem Sheyisvada. Perhaps the person might choke during that meal before he has an opportunity to do vidui. So therefore, Chaperain, seize the day quite literally, and even before Yom Kippur begins, do vidui before that final meal. As Yom Kippur is approaching, but even though the person confessed before he ate that last meal, he once again repeats his confession on the night of Yom Kippur during Ma'ariv, and then once again he confesses his sins during Shacharis, during Musaf, during Mincha, during Ne'ila. So altogether we have Arvis, Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha Ne'ila's five prayers, plus the meal earlier is six times. Ve'hechon misvada, where do we do this vidui on Yom Kippur? Yachid achar tfilosai, the individual does the confession at the end, after the davening Shmoneh Esrei, at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, before he goes back three steps, he or she engages in the vidui, ushliach tzibur, be'emtzat filosu v'bracha revias. The shliach tzibur, the representative of the community, the chazan, does it in middle of the chazaras hashatz, in the fourth bracha of each Shmoina Esra of Yom Kippur. Halacha ches, ha'vidui shenagu boi kol Yisrael. The order of confession, which has become the tradition of all the Jewish people, is defined by the words aval chatanu v'chuli. So there's a little different neschoiz. The Rambam is choosing his text, which we're going to learn later. At the end of Sefer Ava, the Rambam goes through his whole text of davening, say the Tfilis L'Chol HaShana. So we say, Aval Chatanu V'Goymer, however we have sinned, V'Hu Iker Avidu. This is the fundamentals of Vidui. This is the foundation, the root of Vidui. The person be able to acknowledge that Chatasi, that Chatanu, that we have erred miserably and it's time to change. Avedis Shisvada Lebi Yom HaKippurim Zeh, says the Rambam, a fascinating halacha, sins that I confessed on. this Yom Kippur, Chayzeru Mesvada Lehem B'Yom HaKippur Amacher. The person confesses for them once again the next Yom Kippur. Afal Pishu Emet B'Tshuvasa. Even though he maintained his tshuva, in other words, if he would have transgressed the same sin in the middle of the year, then of course he should confess on the next Yom Kippur. The Rambam says, no, his vidui worked, it was a real vidui, he didn't repeat the sin. Nonetheless, the next Yom Kippur, he confesses them again. Why? So it's actually an argument in Gemara. In Masechta Yuma Daf Pevav, there's two opinions. One opinion is you don't. Move on. You already confessed. Go on. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Pass says, and the Rambam embraces that view, that you repeat again the vidu, even for something that you did not repeat during the year. And the basis for that is Shanema, the Pasuk says, until Imperial Kanan Aleph, Kivshoi, Aniyeda, Vachatosi, Negdi, Samid. David HaMelech says, Lam Natzeich Mizmur LeDavid, Bevoi, Elov, Nasan, Hanavi, Kashabah, Balsheva, after David engaged in his error with Bathsheva and his sin with Bathsheva. So David HaMelech says, I am aware of my sins, and my Chatosi, my sin, my transgression, stands before me constantly. Vachatosi, Negdi, Samid. This is the basis for the psak of the Rambam that you repeat the video again. What would be the point of this? I think it could be understood on two levels. One level is, I remember I was once at a retreat, at a Shabbaton for people in recovery. It was in Boca Raton, Florida. And Friday afternoon, I went to a meeting and somebody there stood up and he introduced himself and he said, I am an alcoholic. I've been in recovery for 35 years. Later, I went over to him and I said, so for 35 years, you did not drink an ounce of alcohol? He said, I did not. So I said, why do you call yourself an alcoholic? You're better than me. So he says, because the moment I stop calling myself an alcoholic, I will become one. In other words, it's the recognition that as much as I have changed, I'm weak, I'm vulnerable. And therefore, I have to always be aware that there's a condition and I should not take it for granted. I shouldn't suddenly think I'm a saint and I transcend all mistakes, all errors. V'chatasi negdi somet. There's also a deeper explanation. The Baal HaTanya says this in Tanya, Perik of Test, chapter 29. A fascinating idea, and that is, a person continues growing. And as I continue growing, my spiritual sensitivity becomes more acute. And then I realize that the sin that I have done a long time ago is much worse than I thought it was, because I become much more refined and much more sensitive. So even something that bothered me last year, now it bothers me much more because of my spiritual growth. And I realize that even my tshuva was not the real tshuva that's expected of me now, and therefore I do another tshuva for it. V'chatosi negdi samet. Because the more a person grows, the more mature you become, the more refined you become, the more sensitive you become. You pick up subtle distortions that maybe 5 years ago they were not relevant in your life, but now you realize that this is not befitting, this is inappropriate, and therefore you have to do tshuva again. The Rambam says, even the next Yom Kippur, you do tshuva. Halacha tes. Ein ha-tshuva ve-lo yoyim ha-kippurim mechaprin ela avedi shem adam lamokim. Tshuva and Yom Kippur do not forgive only on sins between a person and Hashem. Kegoin mishachal dvar asur, somebody who ate a forbidden food, oy bal bila asur, somebody who engaged in an immoral relationship, v'kayutzeben, and similar sins. Avel avedi shem adam lachavedi. But sins between one person and another human being, going for example, chayvel chavedoi, somebody who physically harms his friend, or mekalalus chavedoi, he curses his friend, or goizel, or he steals from his friend, the kayotzeben, and any similar crime that a person does to his or her colleague. And you see, he mentions three examples. One is physical harm, one is verbal harm, and one is financial harm. He will never be forgiven for this sin until he compensates and he gives his friend what he owes him because of the theft, because of the harm, and furthermore, viratzeyu, and he must appease him. He must ask him for forgiveness. Even though I gave him back the money I owe him, if I broke something, if I hurt him in some way, if I stole something from him, I paid him back. So everything is good. The Rambam says that's not enough. You have to appease him. And ask of him that he should forgive you for what you have done. And even if you only provoked your friend through words, you caused him hurt through words. You didn't even curse him. It's not even a curse. And you didn't harm him physically. And you didn't steal his money. But you said something that was denigrating, that was insulting, that was hurting. So you have to appease him. And ask him, beseech him, until he forgives you. What if he doesn't want to forgive you? So then you should bring three of this person's friends. Let them ask on your behalf that he should forgive you. What if he does not consent to them either? You bring him another group of three friends. You send another group of three friends to ask him to forgive you. And then you do this a third time, which means altogether nine people. Perhaps after one group, a second group, a third group, each group minimum three people, he will finally consent and realize the sincerity and be able to overcome his hurt and forgive you. Says the Rambam, Loi Ratza. And what if he's really stubborn? He refuses to forgive you even after all of this that you have done. Then manichay v'haylich loy. Then you let him go. You move on. You let him go. You did what you tried. You tried once, and you tried another three times with other people. It didn't work. So Rambam says you let him go. And the one who didn't forgive, he's actually the sinner. V'im hayer rabbi. But if the person you have hurt is your rebbe, your teacher, then you should ask him even 1,000 times until he forgives you. Halachiyut. Now the Rambam addresses the victim. It's forbidden for a person to be cruel and not to accept pious, not to allow himself to be appeased. You want to be a type of person that when somebody comes and shows goodwill and apologizes, forgive them, be easy, and let it be more difficult to get angry. When the one who did a sin, even if he did something wrong, but he asks you for forgiveness, you should forgive him with a wholesome heart and with an excited soul. In other words, you should do it with grace, you should do it with willingness, you should do it with genuine sincerity. And even if he caused you distress and he sinned to you a lot, now he's apologizing, he wants to do tshuva, don't take revenge, and don't harbor grudges and enmity to him, allow yourself to forgive. The question is, what if the person doesn't ask for forgiveness? What if the person is not interested in doing tshuva? Then it's a whole different story. Then I don't have to forgive. Then I haven't discussed in Hilchis Deis that there was the minhag of the Hasidim that they would, pious Jews would forgive anyway. But here he's talking in Hilchis Tshuva, the person who's coming to do tshuva, you respond. You help him do tshuva. Forgive. Be a forgiving person. And this is the path of the seed of the Jewish people, the descendants of the Jewish people. This is what's called Ayidisha hearts, a Jewish heart. It's extraordinary words of the Rambam. He says this defines the upright spirit of the Jewish people. This is the path that defines the Jewish seed, the descendants of Yisrael and their upright spirit. Or some versions say Hagoyim. However, idolaters or many Gentiles, they often have plugged hearts. Their hearts are plugged, and they're not this way. Quoting a verse from Amos, their wrath they often harbor for eternity. And we know this idea, sometimes with nations and with individuals, they could never get over a fight. You did something wrong, and forever you will remain my enemy. I will harbor enmity, and I will make sure to take revenge. The Rambam says, this is not a Jewish thing. We have learned early on in history that we have to be able to forgive. This is what the Pasuk says about the Givoinim. Because they did not forgive and they did not allow themselves to be appeased, the Tanakh tells us Shmuel Beis Perik Chaf Aleph, V'hagivoinim loy mebnei Yisrael heima. We know that the Givoinim are not from the children of Yisrael. The Givoinim were a nation that lived in Eretz Yisrael and they converted to Judaism. But there's a story that's described in Shmuel Beis very briefly. When Shaul HaMelech was pursuing David and he tried to kill him, he killed out the city of Noiv and he killed many Givoinim. And for years and years and years and decades, they kept that enmity towards Shaul and towards the Jewish people. And Hashem, realizing this, punished the Jewish people. There was a drought for 3 years. And when David inquired, what's the reason for this? He found out it's because of the sin that Shaul did to the Givoinim. And David HaMelech asked their forgiveness for what was done to them, even though it was done in a previous generation by a previous king. And they refused to forgive until David would not give them 7 sons of Shaul HaMelech, which they killed in cold blood, who they killed in cold blood, and hung their corpses. And then David HaMelech says, Loi b'bnei Yisrael heima. This is not how Jews live. The Rambam concludes Perik Sheni with this halacha, halacha yud aleph. Hachoyti lechavedi, if somebody sins to his friend, umeis chavedi koydim sheivakash romenu mechila, but his colleague passes away before he has a chance to ask for forgiveness. What do you do? Meivi asore b'nei adam mamidin al kivra. You bring 10 people and you place them at the gravesite, v'oimer b'fneim, and you say in front of them, chatosi l'ashem alekei yisdov, v'liploi nizer chosisi l'kach v'kach. I have sinned to the God of Israel and to this individual I have done to him so and so. This is what you do and you can receive atonement. V'im ho'yichayiv le'mamen. This is in terms of forgiveness for the hurt you caused him after, but now he passed away, so you bring 10 people to the grave and you apologize in public to them, in front of them. V'im ho'yichayiv le'mamen. What if you owe him money? Then, you know, it's not like the person was once standing at a gravesite and he owed somebody money. So what did he do? He wrote out a check for $100,000 and he put it into the grave. Here, I paid him back. That's not going to work. You have to give back the money that you owe him to his ears. What if you don't know about any ear? So then you leave the money in Bezdin and you confess in front of the Bezdin for the hurt and the sin that you have done to the other person, and all shall be forgiven.